You've seen him on stage. You've heard him on his comedy album Bird Drugs, out now on Sure Thing Record. And now comedian Mac Blake is coming to the Crunch Network. That's right. Saturdays on the Crunch Network are now Macker Days.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
3 hours of programming every night featuring the network's newest star, Mac Blake.
Please don't put my name out there. I'm barely in these shows.
First at 7, it's I'm a Celebrity, You're Under Arrest. Watch Mac and his celebrity friends arrest real criminals as members of the Scottsdale, Arizona Police Department. Will Mac frame an innocent person for possession of PCP? Probably.
Hold on. That was Luke Perry who did that, not me.
Then at 8, it's Celebrity Potty Party. It's a show that's exactly what you think it is. Mac Blake watching celebrities go to the bathroom.
I hand out towels and mints. Can we stop recording for a second?
Can Party Master Mac get celebrity Lonnie Anderson to enter a limbo contest after she squeezes out a breakfast funeral?
Okay, I'm pretty sure no one is in the recording booth right now. Also, breakfast funeral?
Then at 9, Dr. Preston Brody is looking for love in all the wrong places. Mac Blake stars in The Horse Dick Kid.
Okay, they originally told me the show was going to be called Doctor's Orders. I've written them 7 emails begging them to change the name. In one of them, I attached a photo of my grandmother.
I'm a Celebrity, You're Under Arrest at 7. Celebrity Potty Party at 8. The Horse Dick Kid at 9.
I hate all of this.
It's the Saturday Macker Day lineup.
How much do you want to bet they don't edit any of this?
Only on the Crunch Network.
Hello, folks. This is the Mascot Winning Show, the Internet's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hodder.
My name is Mac Blake, and this is episode 290, The Town That
Ate All the Pepper.
Oh, a town loves pepper.
What are they going to do? They going to sneeze to death, or are they going to death to sneeze?
This is the Mascot Winning Show. As David just said, what is my normal intro here?
I think you just say hi.
Eventually I say something like, oh, yeah, here you go. We're recording live.
That's right.
Well, not recording live. Of course it's live. God damn it.
No. I'm mailing this one in.
We're mailing it into the podcasty awards.
Uh-huh.
This is our entry.
Yeah, the potties.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So we're recording this at the Hodgecast Studios, aka the Hodgebound, here in Austin, Texas. We, of course, are your podcast lions. And this, is an Austin East Siders Texas Honey Cider that I'm about to drink.
Are we angling for some endorsements?
Maybe, why not?
Think of the fucking word endorsements. Are we angling for some money from things?
Verdict. Tastes pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That is the Austin East Siders, Texas Honey Cider.
If you're drinking another cider, stop that stuff.
Knock it off, Marie.
Yeah, you heard me. David Hata, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. Each day's a gift. What are the platitudes? One game at a time.
Hey, you gotta get in there and win.
40 minutes of pain.
Clear eyes, full of hearts.
That's right. Be kind, rewind.
That's right. Exactly.
How are you, Mac?
I'm doing good. So normally we have a guest on the show, but this is going to be a solo show today, just myself and you.
That's right. Do we want to say how long it's been since we've done the show?
Sure. We recorded this one. We knocked out like 4 in a week back in November.
Oh, we didn't know how good we had it.
And then as soon as that started, I know I recorded an album around that time.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
And then something else happened. Maybe just the holidays or something like that.
Yeah, that throws everybody off.
And then I just got, that's the thing with this podcast. Is because there's no like boss, like there's no like set deadline. Like if I don't put them out, I'm disappointed. You're disappointed, and some fans are. But like there's no like I wake up the next day and I still have the same amount of money in my bank account. That kind of thing.
Yeah, we don't have to hit our numbers every month.
Yeah, it doesn't ruin anything, and so it's the easiest thing to kind of push off. But I do like doing this show a whole lot, and so I apologize to people as much as I'd like to shift the blame onto David and say he's a big POS is, why would I like to do that?
Well, no, I feel like you've generally liked to do that.
This is entirely my fault. I will take the blame for it. Because we're recording this. This will probably come out in a couple weeks because we have a backlog, but this is like third week in February?
Yes.
That is correct. And so we're going to try and get back on track here, do a little Mascot Winning Gold Lions, and maybe we'll see how the show goes. We're closing it on 300.
That's right. Yeah.
You got to get to that 300 mark.
That's I couldn't even make a 300 reference. Not that was a golden reference to make, but I was like, oh yeah, we'll be like the Spartan. I saw that movie once, and I couldn't give less of a fuck about it.
You and I saw it together.
That's right, we did.
Yeah, we actually went to 2 different theaters.
Wait, I don't remember that.
It was late one night, and we went to go to, or we, maybe I don't know if we actually went to it. We tried to go to one, and it was like sold out, so we went to like a later show. And I remember just being really confused by that movie.
Uh-huh.
Because I remember laughing a whole lot.
Yeah, because it was this generation's Top Gun in that it was really gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it was like, oh, people are going to love this movie and they're going to be so confused afterwards.
I couldn't figure out if it was like pro-Bush.
Yeah.
Or pro-war, or like anti-Bush or anti-war.
Yeah, because it's...
I guess it was neither, but it was that came out during the Bush administration, right?
Yes, that was 08, I think, something like that.
Maybe that's just liberals' bias. The thing that I want to make everything about the war.
Trying to find messages and everything.
Yeah. But there was some stuff where it was like, okay, that I mean, because Frank Miller is definitely like a very militant individually.
Oh, is that right?
Individual. Uh-huh. Yeah, he wrote this book called like Holy Terror Batman. And DC was like, no. And so they changed it to like Holy Terror and Batman to like Cape Man or something.
So is it just him killing Muslims?
Yes.
Or? Oh, well, oh my goodness. Yes.
Well, not like men, women, and children. That's for our military to do. Today.
Right, exactly.
He was killing a terrorist.
Oh, okay.
I think he goes and murders Bin Laden.
That's actually kind of fun. That's in that sort of Inglourious Bastards way, which I've made my peace with that movie. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Fucking, if I could make a movie, I'd kill Hitler too.
That I did not see that coming. I was like, well, surely they're going to get out of this. Oh.
Yeah, it's like, how are they going to escape the clutches of Hitler? Oh, they're going to murder him. Well, that's one way.
That's a pretty good twist.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, the Titanic's going to sink, and then just lowers back. Whoa.
Just rises out of the ocean. That would be the most fuck yes moment of any movie where the Titanic comes back.
At least the Inglourious Bastards like owned their... anachronistic stuff. I'm still mad about the movie The Untouchables.
Why are you mad about the movie?
Because it's so not what happened at all.
Okay.
But I actually, you know what's funny? There's a guy who, I think it was a gift from you for Christmas. One year you gave me like this, I want to say it was called Torso.
That is correct.
Yes. And it's the first documented serial killer in the country, I believe, was in Cleveland, Ohio. And the person who actually worked the case was Elliot Ness. Mm-hmm. And... the guy who wrote it, Brian Michael Bendis, is a famous comic book writer, if such a thing exists. No, he was on Seth Meyers. Anyway, so he's very prolific on like Tumblr. Like, you know, if you send him a question, he'll answer it. Like,
okay.
And I'm subscribed to it on like some sort of app or whatever. And so I actually messaged him and I was like, does it bother you about how inaccurate it was? And he's like, no, because Elliot Ness himself is like such a like self-aggrandizer or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like he's all about like creating his own legend and like cutting his clip. In fact, there's even some of that in the movie. And so the fact that this movie is like sort of based on his bullshit in his mind makes it even more interesting.
Okay.
Which I guess, I don't know. I mean, it's stuff like that where when you're making a movie.
So I mean, is your point that Elliot Ness's role in the saga of, let's just call it The Untouchables, wasn't as prominent or heroic as it's portrayed in the movie?
He kind of had nothing to do with bringing down Al Capone.
Okay.
And that's sort of like the movie makes it seem like that they're the bad guys, he's the good guy. Mm-hmm. When really, like, you know, he had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, I guess for the most part, I can read a history book.
Yeah.
A Wikipedia page. Let's be honest. I'm not cracking no books.
Either. Yeah.
Actually, I've read 3 books so far this year.
Hey, check you out.
I know. Although 2 of them were like not real books.
Sniglets for Kids or something?
Yeah. Actually, Rob Delaney's book. Dude,
oh, okay.
Somebody got that for me as a gift. I don't think it's even 200 pages long.
Yeah, the wipeable Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. It really is like, okay, is this what books are these days, Rob? I don't know. But
let me ask you this about The Untouchables. If they hadn't come, if it was like, you know, James Ness or something, and he was trying to catch Frank Capone, would it still bother you? I mean, like, as a movie.
Honestly, absolutely not. Like, if it was, in fact, if it was Al Capone and, like, you know, Jimmy the Gun, that wouldn't bother mm-hmm. me. And maybe I should just, it didn't, you know, I still enjoyed the movie. I mean, because Beb Sean Connery
is
so good in it.
Oh, everyone's great in it.
Plus, it is that Ennio Morricone score. Is that how you say his name?
I try not to, but yeah.
I mean, it's weird.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily what I would have chosen, but it's interesting.
Well, a follow up question, like, and I don't know, this is a weird question to ask, but like, where do you draw the line with the accuracy of nonfiction or like, you know, movies based on true events or stuff like that.
That is interesting. I don't really know if I want to set that line, because it's, I understand that movies are sort of a representation of thing, mm-hmm. of things. And so you if you
well,
get
the Fantastic Four is.
Yeah, it's true.
God damn it.
If the movie has a truth to it, that if it changes the details, I guess I'm okay with it. Because, you know, like I said, like, we can all look it up, and it sort of, if it gets that truth across, because I also realize that, you know, if you want to tell the complete story of something, it's hard to do that in a 2-hour movie. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I wish I had a better example. I know that I didn't really like The New World.
Okay.
That Terrence Malick movie, because there was no real love story there between Pocahontas and John Smith.
Mm.
And I don't know. I mean, it's something where it's like, now if they're presenting the movie like an imagined love story, you know, be like, okay,
right,
that sounds fine. But then it's like, well, why? Okay, so let's say they did that, Mac. Now, is the movie fine? I don't know. Sometimes it's hard for, I guess that's what you get with historical movies, is that you can't really divorce yourself from the baggage of what actually happened.
And especially with, in the case of The Untouchables, where, you know, it was a TV show, so the makers of that movie can kind of walk that line between like, well, we're kind of, you know, referencing history, but also we're really leaning on that TV show that was made.
Yeah. The weird thing about it, though, in terms of sort of making a movie based on like an American legend, like the legend of Elliot Ness and The Untouchables, is that Elliot Ness was like involved with that show.
Right.
Like he was like working the show, which also, it's funny because when I think about like Wyatt Earp, and like he was like involved in a movie production of that shootout at the OK Corral.
The Train Coming Towards You.
Yeah. Or what?
No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
But it does seem weird that like he was alive like when films were made.
Yeah. That doesn't track with my memory or like my understanding of what a legend should be. Like a legend should be before our time, like we have no record of it. And so that allows the legend to grow. But when he's standing behind a camera going, make his pants bulgier. Like, you know,
is that what he said?
Oh, yeah, sure. Why not? But at the same time, like, man, if I had that opportunity to write my own legend for television, yeah, I'd be right there. You kidding me?
What was that Chappelle Show sketch where he was watching Antoine Fisher?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, he knows that one of the guys who wrote it was Antoine Fisher.
Yeah.
And he writes his own story.
Pretty great.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, since we last recorded,
The Untouchables had come out in theaters.
That's right. I got engaged, David.
That's right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Man, we have a lot to cover. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
My also friend of the show, Dave Humans.
That's right.
Extended Mascot Wedding Family also got engaged.
Everybody's locking them up.
Yep. that's big doing. Sorry, ladies and some fellas. And one questionable person. I don't know.
How much do you care to elaborate on like that whole, was it nervous for you? I mean, or were you nervous?
You know what? I bought the ring a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like I made the decision for a while, but I think when I made it, my sister, her wedding was coming up and I wanted to kind of have it be clear of that wedding
right.
In terms of my family. And so like I bought the ring and what's weird is like, I didn't plan on buying the ring that day. I snuck my sister out to help me look at rings. Cause I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
And that day, you know, I ended up buying it. And so I sort of had it for a while and I was trying to like figure out how to do it. And then once I figured it out, there was like stuff going on and I kind of didn't want to like, just like fit it in.
Sure.
So, the day arose where this would be a pretty good day for it. And I knew what I was doing, and I actually, I'll tell you this, I involved the dog, my fiancé, Jimena Estrada, who's been a guest on the show before. We have this dog together, and we made it ourselves, parts of other dogs.
And you know what? Very impressive.
Yeah, thank you. It's we sold our souls to make it, but you know what? What ifs?
I like that you genuinely took credit for making this dog that you didn't make.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it's good. It's a good dog.
So this dog, she loves this dog.
Right.
And I mean, I like it too.
I like it fine.
No, I love this dog, but, you know,
but she fucking loves that
dog.
Yeah,
seriously. Yeah. She had a dog sized hole in her heart that this filled. And so I knew, I was like, man, if I involve the dog somehow, that'll be a home run.
Because
that's the thing. Like, I don't want to. We had friends that like carved their names into a tree, like in a special spot.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily have like a special spot or anything.
No,
like
home slice, maybe like a spelling, like a heart shaped pizza or something.
I'll tell you what, last time with the home slice, a little disappointed.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. It's been a long time because I've been crushing on some East Side Pies for a while.
Don't ever.
You don't like East Side Pies?
No, just don't ever say you're crushing on some East Side Pies.
Well, I mean, I'm crushing like bro term. Like I'm crushing on my mouth.
Oh, okay. Like you wrote it a note saying, do you like me pizza? Check yes or no. Like you're crushing on it.
No, I'm not doing that.
Oh, okay.
I'm crushing it like a crush a, like if I drink a soda real fast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, bro term.
Still doesn't help.
Okay.
Okay. But you weren't impressed with Home Slice last time you
Yummers. yeah, I wasn't that impressed. But so I was like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have the dog, I'm going to put the ring on the dog, like the box, and have her call it in. And I practice with the dog. Like I would come home at lunch, put the ring on, walk across the side of the room, and I'd be like, come here. And then the dog would come here. Of course, come showtime, that dog doesn't want to cooperate, that piece of shit. And so anyway, but it worked out. I had to sort of be like, hey, like look at the dog, what's got on it, instead of being like the dog coming right to her.
Was there any fear that the dog would, like, in a furious shaking fit, like, just shake it off? And
well, it was in the box.
Okay.
But that's the thing. The previous times when I put the box on the dog was like, whatever's on my back, I don't care. I just want to do what you want to tell me. But then the day of when I put the ring on the box on the back of the dog was like, what is this on my back? Get it off my back. Mm. Which, by the way, so I just got back from Raleigh, North Carolina. Mm. I did some shows there, opening for Justin Willman, who's a magician and comedian. And he on stage mentioned that he had just gotten engaged. And so I was like, this guy's a magician, right? And he's a really good one.
Yeah.
You know, he can do he's got the whole bag of tricks. You know, sleight of hand, he can make you.
Got those rings.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was like, how did you do? Because I bet you did something. Because I was expecting like a story about him.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, like I pulled it out of her ear or like she turned around. Next thing you know, we're in the astral plane or something like that. You know, someone involving the dark arts.
Sure.
And he was like, oh, I took her on a surprise trip to Italy. And I was like, cool. And he goes, how'd you do it? And I was like, well, I didn't go to Italy, my man.
Who goes to Italy?
Rich people, I guess.
Jesus Christ.
But it's
buy
funny.
Some of those rings.
And I may. Is that what it is? Like, you just, it's like.
That's his gateway to save, his gateway to millions. It's just, oh, I'll saw a lady in half, and then I'll just fucking fly to Italy.
I do have a joke about sawing a lady in half, and yeah. I did not have the balls to do it in front of him. I feel like maybe another comedian has talked about this. I may also try and turn it into something. Mm. But it is funny how, like, as soon as I got engaged, I did start thinking about dying a lot.
Okay.
Just because it's like, ah, oh, we're going to be married. Cool. Oh, man, she's going to bury me. I am 100% going to die first.
Well, is that, which would you prefer? if we're going to have this conversation.
I guess, you know, if, I don't know. I it's this weird thing of like, I don't ever want to die.
Sure.
Don't want to see her die.
Yeah.
So I guess I selfishly would like to die first.
Yeah.
But then the idea of like that, you know, this person gets to live longer and I'm not there. I hate that for some reason.
Well, here's the thing. If the love is really strong, she'll last 6 more months and then kick it.
No. I hate that kind of stuff for some reason. Like,
why do you hate that kind of stuff?
When you're like, oh, he died the next day. How sweet. To me, like, it's fucking garbage. Live.
I think that's, well, you can't help it. I mean, it's not like he was like, I can't go on. I mean, like, you know, just the heart gives out or something, or maybe like the lion smells it on you.
Did you see the Super Bowl commercial with all the old people?
Oh, which one? Everyone died in every Super Bowl commercial.
Well, there was one with everyone who's like close to 100 or 100. And they're like, the wisdom of the elderly, drive a Mustang or something.
I know, I missed it.
Well, one of the like couples that were both like late 90s or maybe even they were both over 100, it was a couple.
Mm.
And the fact that they're like together, like, I just knew that one of them was like, what the fuck? Die already. Give me a year of freedom.
I had plans in my 90s.
I feel like after you reach 80 and you're still married, it's like, well, we're dying together.
Oh, yeah. At that point, you just become like old man, old lady status, where it's like, you can come and go as you please. Leave the key under the mat.
But also more just in general, like now being like, oh fuck, I don't want to die when I'm 60 now.
Right.
Like I want to live as long as I can live. Which that probably has to mean changes in the way I live and eat. No thanks. No fucking thanks.
Well, then it's up to you. Die at 48.
Oh, die 48.
Throw a curveball.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because you're like, man, if I was rich, I bet I'd live forever. Yeah, tell that to Dennis Farina, okay?
Is he your example of what a rich person is and does?
Got to be so loaded.
Oh, yeah. He's got to have hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Got the Law and Order money.
Crime Story money?
He was in...
Out of Sight money?
Yeah, he's in Out of Sight. That's right.
Snatch money?
He played Jennifer Lopez's dad.
That's right.
Yep. Good casting.
Yeah.
Great casting.
Probably punished her a lot.
What?
I'm just in an alternate reality where he was her father.
Okay.
Yeah, he just punished her a lot. Spank that bottom.
Oh, boy.
Just watch it ripple.
Oh, yeah. She was, like, famous for having, like, a big booty. I wonder if she, like...
Hold on. That sounded like you're just discovering this.
No, I forgot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, name America's favorite big-bootied celebrity right now, Dan.
Oh, probably, like, a Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. Do you think J-Lo's ever mad that she's like, oh, I used to have a big ass?
I think she has moments where... Because I think, for the most part, she's like, oh, thank God people aren't talking about my ass anymore. But then I think, like, 20% of the time, she's like, still, though, it's a pretty capital can. Why aren't people still talking about it?
I like how we've... this attractive person we can be. Yeah, she's meat to us. We can talk about her.
I also like that we're 15 minutes in and we're already in like, hey, so who's got a nice butt these days?
Yeah, who does?
Yeah.
But call us right now. 432. No, I don't know.
But she was ahead of the curve. I mean, you know. But yeah, like I do kind of feel bad for her a little bit because also Jennifer Lopez was in shape. Like she's a dancer and stuff.
Yeah, wasn't she like a Laker girl or something?
Yeah, and then Kim Kardashian's just like, she's like plus size woman. Like, you know, she just has a good team around her.
David Hatta, what have you been up to, man? Since November break.
Since November? I don't have anything. I don't know, just kind of laying low, just enjoying, thank you.
We're recording this, like I said, in the Hodgecast studios, and Charlie Hodge has some sort of weird plastic combat knife on the table, which I can't stop moving around in my hands.
Yeah, I feel like it's sending a message to us, like, hey, one more slip up or something.
It's like talk radio.
Man, I wish I had stories. I have no stories. I've just been kind of enjoying various hiatuses from various things and watching movies and sleeping. And it's a dream come true.
Oscar picks.
What do you want to know?
You think Annie's going to win it?
I think what is?
Annie.
2014's Annie. Whoa, Black Annie. Ram-a-lam.
And the Best Supporting Actor Award goes to, oh, not even nominated. Get up here, you son of a bitch. Bobby Cannavale.
The write-in votes. Yeah, I don't know. Do you really want to talk about the Oscars?
I mean, if you want to, when did the Oscars air?
This Sunday.
Oh, okay, so it'll already have happened.
Yes, it will already have happened. So
right now, tell you what, we'll pause.
Yeah.
And I'll edit in us congratulating the person that actually won. Okay.
Or do we want to put on my Karnak helmet or whatever?
Yeah. So here's this next sound bite you hear will actually be us a couple weeks from now, and I'll record it and us congratulating the winner.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Annie. That's so weird, David.
Oh, my God. Out of nowhere.
It wasn't even nominated.
But we felt it in our hearts, though.
Yeah, it's weird that it won.
It was really nice.
Okay, well, congratulations to whoever that was.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's weird.
No, but I'll say this.
What was your best picture, though?
Whiplash.
Oh, I still haven't seen it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, the Violet Crown Theater here in Austin was like, only showing 4:30 p.m. this week. You motherfuckers.
Yeah, the Draft House was a couple weeks ago pretty good about bringing back most of the major nominees. I don't know. There should be more opportunities to see it, especially after this weekend, maybe. Let's see.
Yeah, I think at this point I'll just catch it on Vigio. I still haven't seen Boyhood either.
Oh, well, yeah.
Not as big into Boyhood?
Oh, I liked it. Here's what I'll say. I respected the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. It was a very, you know, you're watching someone go for something very ambitious, mm-hmm. and it, you know, he pulled it off and it pays off. But it just wasn't in my wheelhouse.
It's interesting. Like I check Box Office Mojo a lot for some reason.
Yeah.
And I think Boyhood, its budget was like $5 million. Mm. And it's funny how they like shot it over time. Because I feel like the first time they're shooting it, they're like, all right, rap. Cool. See you guys in like 8 years. And they're like, whatever. This is not going to happen.
This isn't fucking happening.
Yeah, we'll be back. Yeah, fuck you. Feels like Ethan Hawke saying that. Whatever, Rich.
Yeah, I'm going to go make Sinister instead. I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I love people in this town.
Yeah, me too. We'll be right back.
When I got nominated, like, oh, did you see that Rich got nominated? I'm like, oh, stop it.
That's a little gross. Yeah. I don't. It's one of those things where I wonder if other cities have that same sort of gravitating towards things. Because, like, I mean, you know, New York and L.A., obviously, they don't have time for that because everything's made in New York and L.A.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if it's just unique to Austin where it's like, hey, hometown boy makes good, but, like, really kind of latching on in a way that's overly friendly and familiar.
Well, you know, that one time we were talking about, like, who would be on Austin's Mount Crushmore.
Right.
It's Mount Rushmore, which I think somebody, Aaron Brooks, friend of the show, said he's starting up a new show and he might call it Mount Crushmore.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I hate to take him to court.
The People's Court. Ba-bang. But we were trying to come up with, like, who would be on Austin's Mount Crushmore, and we were talking about how we didn't really have a good Austin director.
Yeah.
I feel like Richard Linklater, though, with his Oscar now, probably cemented himself.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Which then when I started looking up his IMDb, I was like, boof. Me and Orson Welles.
Yeah.
Food Incorporated or whatever. Fast Food Nation.
Oh, that's right. Fast Food Nation. Yeah, sure.
What else did he do that was probably bad?
The Newton Boys.
Newton Boys. That's right.
Well, I think what gets lost in all that is like, hey, all right, Rich did it. Or, you know, Ricky did it or whatever the fuck people are saying.
Mm.
A lot of fucks in this episode.
I love it.
Wes Anderson went to UT. You know, he didn't graduate or whatever.
I feel like Dallas claimed him, right?
Oh, I feel like, I don't know. I guess just Texas claimed. Here's the thing. Yeah. I feel like he is a man without a country because he doesn't fit into Texas sensibilities. He's kind of like, he lives in his own existence.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't look at him like, oh yeah, this down-to-earth Texas boy. Like, no, he's a very nice, like, fine, delicate man.
Yeah, like Bottle Rocket kind of felt like he's making like a little Texas movie.
Yeah.
And then what was that other? Royal Tenenbaums felt like, oh, no, he's a guy who's lives in like Monaco from 30 years ago.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And then Moonrise Kingdom, of course, shot in that, was that?
Yeah, he lives inside of a
universe with only white people in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that boy gets survived getting hit by lightning. He can't put one non-white face in that movie?
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
You know what, though? is that really ruining my experience? I'm a person of color, this is the first time I ever called myself that.
A POC.
A POC. And it never really bothers me, though.
There was other things in that movie that bothered me. Kids.
Yeah.
Kids getting a little too unclothed.
Ugh. Oh, I don't know. Bother's the right word. Probably bothered me.
Let me rephrase it. Hot and bothered.
I couldn't stand up after the movie. What are you going to do? Second popcorn, please.
Second popcorn.
That's right.
What happened to the first popcorn?
I'll put my dick through it.
Sir, I'm sorry. We can't. You have to pay for the second popcorn.
Listen, you're not going to want it back.
Well, I'm not saying I want it back. Keep the first one. But you don't get a free second one because you ruined the first popcorn.
Look, if you could pry it off of me, you can have it.
I don't want it back, sir.
Well, then I guess this popcorn's mine.
Yes, you. Congratulations, you get the first popcorn.
I'll take two popcorns, please.
What's the second popcorn for?
Cleaning up.
So hold on. You jizz in the first one.
Yeah.
And the second popcorn
is for... Actually, you know what? Second one might be for eating. Let me walk that one back a little bit. First one's for fucking. Second one's for eating. I feel like that's a rule of dating, too.
I also recorded an album.
Yes, you did.
In late December. And we've been editing it right now. I think when this comes out, it might be available already.
Let's say it will be.
Okay. And yeah, it should be.
Well, just in either way, cover our bases. When will it be out?
It will be out March 3rd. And I believe this will come out. Oh, this might actually come out March 3rd.
Okay.
So it might be available today. What?
Look out.
Which means this episode will be lost in the
shuffle of promoting it, yeah.
But that was an interesting process, and has made me real sick of all those jokes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because just having to listen to them and break them down, they become like so static, and then when I do them in a different way on stage, now I like that way of doing them. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I wish I did it this way. It's weird kind of like locking it in. I feel like 90% happy with it. But then, you know, like 10% is like, oh, maybe if I tried this or if I tried that. There's one joke that I did that never hit, and now I'm stressing a pronunciation different right now because I'm still doing the same material because I'm a giant hack.
Yeah.
And now it does really well, and it's like one of those things like, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Which is a question I wanted to ask you. Like,
shoot.
Before knowing that, had you considered or are you considering like retiring your material, or is that something that people who have a wealth of material do?
Half and half. I do have way more than an hour, so I'm okay retiring it. But the thing is that, and some of those jokes, the whole impetus for recording an album in the first place was, I remember somebody asked me after winning the contest here in Austin, the Funniest Person in Austin contest, that somebody's like, oh, okay, you won that thing. Now when are you coming out with an album? I'm like, what? Why are those two connected? Yeah. I don't know. Like, how do you decide when it's time to record an album? I have no idea.
Well, probably because Andy Ritchie's came out the next day after he won.
Well, it's sort of weird because Ramin came out with one soon after, like that same year. And then who else won this thing recently? Yeah, I guess it was Ramin and then Andy. Okay, so last two people.
Mm.
And so, but then there, I got a point where I was like, man, I got all these jokes that I kind of don't want to do anymore, but I still like them.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I'll record an album. And so that thought sort of occurred to me. And that was around the time that Brendan Cam Grady and Duncan Carson from Sure Thing told me they were starting a record label and they wanted to pay for an album of mine. I was like, you're going to pay for it. It's old. Because I just assume like everything else I do, I'm going to have to lose money on it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
And so some of those jokes on there are designed, like I put them on there and I'm like, good, glad, I'll never have to do this again. Mm. It's on wax forever, whatever. And then some of that stuff, you know, if that album does well enough to where I can retire it, great.
Right.
But I don't think it will. Like, okay. It probably won't, and so I'll probably still do it. I mean, it is more impetus, or it is further impetus to keep writing and do new stuff, but I mean, I definitely have like 30 minutes, if not more, dead or not on that album.
Yeah. Have you given thought to, like, okay, this is the best case scenario for this album? Like, if I exceed this, I'm playing with house money. Do you have expectations for the album?
In terms of sales?
Yeah.
Ooh, no. I mean, I don't know, man. Everything I've ever done is always sort of underperformed.
Mm.
Like, I remember I got boxes full of t-shirts to prove it for our various projects.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, if it's they're real low. Sure. They're real low. Mm. Like, if I sell 500 copies, yowza, amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, Brian Garr, who's, like, huge on Twitter, told me the amount that he sold digitally, and that number didn't blow me away.
Mm.
But then he put his on Spotify real quick.
Okay.
And it spread. So, I mean, it is something, I am kind of viewing it more like that. Like, this is a thing that can go where I can't go, and maybe it'll help exposure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a way. So, I mean, I'd obviously like that for Brendan and Duncan, the record label guys. I say record label guys like it's not just two dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
They're paying for this. Logo.
The suits.
Yeah, the suits.
Uh-huh.
If the suits, you know, make their money back, then I would love that.
Oh, absolutely.
But there's been several times because I was like, we can just release this digitally. We don't even have to put out physical copies. And like, no, we want physical copies. And I'm like, all right. So, I mean, it's something where it's like, you know, I don't feel like guilty if they don't make a certain amount,
right?
Because it's their choice and they're big boys, they're adults, they know what they're doing, and it is nice to hold something in your hand. I do appreciate that. You know, I still have little dreams of making little various things like little physical media, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah,
I'll tell you this: that a little insider baseball here. So I didn't know what to call it at first. At first, I think I was going to call it We Get It, because I have a joke where I repeat that phrase.
Yes.
But then I think Jimena suggested, why don't you call it Bird Heroin? Because I have a reference to that. And then I think she said Bird Drugs. It's called Bird Drugs.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, Bird Drugs is pretty good. And I think I was like, I don't think I say Bird Drugs. I'll call it Bird Heroin. And then I was like, oh, I very definitely say Bird Drugs.
Yes.
I'm wrong. And so I was like, hey, Brendan, and I slept with it for a while. And I was like, hey, Brendan, I think Bird Drugs is the way to go. And he's like, okay. Sort of a slow roll back to the mound.
Did you ever get a sense from what his ideal title would have been?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, let's bring him in.
Brendan. Ring. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to ask him.
Okay.
That is interesting.
So generally, without... throwing anybody under the bus or anything like that. How was the process? Like, you know, from recording the album to actually sitting there listening to your voice over and over again.
It was good. They definitely, Brendan and Duncan were very involved, and there was a lot more editing than I thought there would be. Like, I was like, oh, you know, I'll record two versions of the joke.
Because you did it over two nights. You did.
Yeah.
It, yeah.
And I was like, well, whichever one I like, I'll do better. And they're like, well, no, I mean, you can take like part of the joke from here, you know, night one and part of the joke from night two. And so there was a little bit of that. And so once we started getting into that, you know, I definitely contributed as well, where I was like, man, I like everything about night one's joke, except I fuck up this line right here and that kind of thing. I did find myself, I was kind of nervous in night one more than I thought I'd be, because I was just sort of really just speeding through some stuff. And finally, I think I fucked up a joke and I called attention to it. I kind of went nuts on the long stage. But it was a nice moment for me to catch my fucking breath.
Yeah.
Because I realized I was like super out of breath at that point, because I'm just like trucking along with stuff.
Yeah, it was nice because I was there for both nights. And yes, so I get to see.
You.
Of course. And so there was one thing that you did in the first show Sunday that you ended up doing on the show on Monday. And that was calling out the people who hadn't come to the show. Like,
yeah. For some reason, both nights, that main front table was empty.
Yeah. And then, like, and you make mention of it, and, you know, that's kind of shitty to have just an empty table sitting right there. But then also something I noticed on the second show that you had done, when your host Danny Palumbo had come out and he was like, hey, who knows our guest tonight, Mac Blake? And, you know, people applauded. And, like, most of the people in the front did not applaud. So I was like, that's a weird, like, anti-stacking of the deck where you had to sit through people who were just kind of, you had to earn them.
Yeah, that is a weird thing. Also, the first night's applause was way bigger, but then when I came out, you know, it was, because they coaxed him up, too. They're like, all right, when this guy comes out, lose your fucking mind.
Uh-huh.
And so they're like, ladies and gentlemen, Mac Blake. And it was going on, like, a ridiculous amount of time.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I started joking, like, thanks. Okay, shut up. Shut up. But then it's like, I don't want to begin an album by telling an audience to shut up.
Right.
And I was like, gool, why did I do that? So it was nice. The guy who's recording it, Dustin Swaylock, that was his name, from VoltaicVideo.com, he got me the recording of night one, and I listened to it the next day, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't want to do that. And so night two, I definitely was like, thank you. Thank you so much for coming, because that's more... it's a better vibe to begin the album on.
Well, that's good. Even though that second night, Brendan basically told the audience, oh, we got it all on the first night, so we don't even need you.
Oh, did he?
A little bit.
That's funny.
Yeah. And I wondered, because definitely like the Sunday crowd or the first show crowd was a lot hotter. Not that it makes a difference either way. I secretly in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, Brendan. Oh, what did you just do?
Yeah, the second show, we definitely took less from that one.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, that there's a part in the show where I ask for a suggestion of something to talk about, and then I undercut that suggestion. And night one, the person said Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And night two, this person yelled out, going to Mars! And that person who yelled that out, by the way, was... There are some jokes where it's like, man, I love this delivery on night two, but this person is so fucking loud on it the whole time. Like that thing of like where people would try to be loud so they can get their laugh on the thing.
Yeah.
I think the lady might have been doing that. Or she might have just been like a drunk having a good old time.
Or she might have been a donkey just braying like an idiot.
Yeah. And I did, it's funny, like I did hear some more friend laughs the more I listened to it.
Uh-huh.
Like Lance Gilstrap came through. I definitely heard you. I heard Andrew Rosas. I heard Jimena. I heard fellow comedian Brian Gutman.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kath Barbadoro made a couple laughs one time. There's one point where it was like real quiet, nothing got a laugh, and then I heard a little John Erler chuckle, which is funny.
Now, listening to it so much, did you reach a point where, you know, like you said, you listen to the jokes so much, you start to hate the jokes. Did you listen to the laughter so much that you started to hate the laughter, or just like, ah, that's a fake laugh?
No, I didn't reach that point. But I did reach something where it's like, do you ever have something you were just like didn't want to do?
Sure.
You know, just procrastinated, just for whatever reason, didn't want to do it. And then when you did it, it's fine.
Mm.
Every time I listened to the album right beforehand, I was like, God, I wish I could do something else right now.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. I just didn't want to do it. But I'm happy with it. And there's a couple things on there that I think, there's one thing that fans of this show will be happy about, because you make an appearance.
That's right.
On the bonus track. And I won't spoil that. Which, by the way, so two things now that I turn this thing in. Oh man, there's two like big regrets or big concerns about. And now one of them, I don't remember what one of them is.
Well, that's not that important.
Yeah, but the other one is, so David, how did this show start, the Mascot Wedding Show?
We went on public radio and took a class and apprenticed under Erler and got a show on co-op.
But what do you think what was our inspiration for doing this show?
Oh, Sharpling and Worcester.
Correct. The best show on WFMU.
Yeah.
That's sort of the inspiration for the Mascot Wedding Show. And for the album, you and I do a little thing at the end, which is very much like a Sharpling and Worcester style bit.
Right.
And now that I put that on there, I'm like, are people going to say I'm just like a ripoff guy?
Oh, that's interesting. Especially without the context of us being on, you know, doing this show for 8 years or whatever.
Which didn't occur to me until after I recorded it, because I have like the biggest place in my heart for Sharpling and Worcester.
Of course.
And I think I may, I don't know,
well, here's
a post about it or something. Cause, and maybe it's a fear like, oh, well, that you assume someone's going to hear this, Mac.
Well, but also like, I wouldn't worry about it too much. A, because this is your record, you know, you're putting on what you wanted to put on there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of those things. And also, not to give away too much, but the bit we do, the track that we do is taken out of the confines of a radio station or what you would know a Sharpling and Worcester bit to be or what you would know a Mascot Wedding bit to be.
Yeah.
So I don't know if – I think people would have to be looking for the similarities in order to find the similarities. I mean, they're definitely there. I mean, I guess the influence not just of Sharpling and Worcester, but also the influence of the past 289 shows that we've done is in there. So for someone to not know that context and that backstory, yeah, maybe it's going to hit them a little weird, but fuck them.
Yeah, I guess – I mean, like – I feel like my heart was in the right place.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a question about your choice of beverage because I've been obsessing over this, watching other people's stand-up specials.
Yeah.
So you had just a plain bottle of water with the cap on. Did any thought go into that? Like, did you kind of worry about, oh, should I have a beer or something? Or should I have a glass of water? Or should I have a bottle of water?
I watched a tape of it for one reason or the other. And I noticed myself like drinking out of the bottle of water. And I wish I had brought a glass on stage.
Because there was one joke that you had. Where you're still, you know, you're kind of running through the tag on it, and you had to cradle the bottle into your arm to open it up, and I just wondered, oh, is that throwing him off his rhythm at any point?
I probably wasn't even paying attention.
Oh man, I was in the zone on that one.
That's funny. There are some things where I'm used to being like, oh, that got a laugh. Now I'll take a drink break, which is not something you know you should be thinking about while necessarily recording an album. Is waiting for an applause, waiting to like you know earn a drink,
right?
Instead of just like sitting there and make the audience wait while I take a sip.
Yeah.
But yeah, without that water, I would have died. For a while, I would bring a water on stage if I was like talking for like 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then now I'll do like, you know, I'm doing like feature sets and I don't bring water on stage and I regret it. Around that 20-minute mark, I need to refresh my instrument.
You got
to
be a pro.
Yeah.
Like old Dave Foley on his dumb special where he'd like, just drinks. It's like watching a 20-year-old do stand up because he's like bragging about drinking and bragging about fucking and stuff like that. It's really weird. That's a tangent for another
weird day.
Yeah. Well, because he's only been doing stand up for like 3 years, and now he's doing this Netflix special, and it's just like you're watching him like still kind of nebulous with his stand up, and he hasn't quite evolved yet. It's a little off putting.
Gross.
Yeah, but it's on Netflix now.
That is funny. I did listen to a lot of albums leading up to this. I don't know what I was hoping to glean from it. Mm. Some of it was just like, how did I, you know, want this thing to sound and something like that. I don't know. I was just listening to them figuring like, well, maybe if there's anything to learn from listening to other people's albums, maybe I'll learn it. I don't know if I did learn anything.
Okay.
I did listen to a lot of albums I ended up liking and some I was a little disappointed by.
Mm.
But I will say that, you know, it honestly kind of listening to it, a bunch of albums kind of took the pressure off a little bit too. Cause you're listening to them and you're like, how many times do I actually like bust up laughing at these and how many times I don't. And you know, like, I don't know. And they don't, you sort of like, for instance, Jake Flores' album.
Right.
Was very funny, but Jake Flores, like he's got a certain delivery and he was himself on that album.
Yeah.
And that was a good lesson to learn from where it's like, you know, this thing's great. It's a great album. Jake did an awesome job with it. It's called Humors. Spelled kind of like rumors.
Okay.
Wait, that's the spelled the same way. H-U-M-O.
With a U.
There is an O-U at the end?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And, you know, he wasn't like forced to be like rapid fire jokes or whatever like that. I will say that this album, because it encompasses a lot of older material, it does change topics pretty quickly.
Right.
I'm not like a Louis C.K. type where I can hit a topic for like half an album or something like that. But anyway, I'm working on some new stuff.
Edgy.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. I'm trying to be less dirty.
Okay.
But everything I'm writing is like, these days is like hard to like, oh, well, that's the dirty version.
Oh, what if Taco Bell was my dick?
Yeah, what if one where you don't talk about sucking a corpse's dick, Mac? Maybe you'll get on TV one of these days. Well, that'll never happen.
Did listening to your material, did that get in your head? Like, oh, I got to make some changes about my, like, my approach.
No, I feel like that stuff it was okay. I mean, it is what it is.
Okay, good.
You know,
I'm not trying to put anything in your head. I'm not saying, well, you know, you should have listened to that. And no, of course not.
No, it's interesting what stuff didn't make the cut as well. Like I have a closer that I just kind of keep in my back pocket, and it usually gets a really good reaction. It's very short. And I usually keep it in my pocket on stage because sometimes if my actual closer does not hit, I'll bust out this one. It works great. I get off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like, you know, that second shoot.
Right.
And I didn't put on the album because I didn't know where to fit it because my closer seemed to work out pretty well.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. Night one, my closer did not work out well.
Wait, remind me of your closer?
That's Belt Season.
Oh, I thought that went all right.
Yeah.
I thought it went all right.
That is one thing behind the scenes that Brendan and Duncan, they're like, so your final two jokes, one involves squirrels, and one of them talks about someone asking to buy a belt. They're like, what if we switch those? What if buying a belt was first and then squirrels? Huh. Which was such a weird thing because it's like, that's my closer, bro. I go one and then the other. And they're like, you know, and then they were like, well, you know what? We listen to it and we genuinely think this is the best. And it's something where it's like, you know what? If these two guys put thought into it, I will consider it.
Right.
And so I listened to it. I even asked a couple more people and I might have asked, did I ask you about it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then in the end, I decided to go my own way. Because that's the thing, too. These albums are so weird. Like in that they are basically like live albums.
Yes.
You know, it's a weird thing to, like Joe Mandy came up with an album last year called the Bitch Face Mixtape. And he put a lot of like mixtapes elements on there, like in between jokes, be like, Joe Mandy, Bitch Face. And he put like skits.
Okay.
Like people used to have. And I was listening to that and I was like, I kind of had an idea for something. I was like, oh, maybe it's kind of weird. I don't know if I'm going to do it. And then after listening to that, I'm like, oh, I'm definitely going to do it. Uh-huh. So there is one thing on the album where some sound effects come in. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Okay.
It's relatively subtle. If anything, it's more to illustrate a visual joke that is lost in the live tape.
Right.
That was something. And obviously if you listen to the album, there's a part where David comes in, where, you know, I was worried about that.
Mm.
Like for example, hopefully he doesn't think I'm calling him out, but Paul Varghese is very funny stand up and he's got a very funny joke about being pulled over by a cop, motorcycle cop.
Mm.
And he's like, what is this guy going to do? Like take me to jail? And he kind of mimes like hugging the cop, like a lady would, like, right, you know, like a back of a motorcycle guy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like you're hanging on to the bike, but hanging on to the biker.
It's like, you're backseat Betty and you're giving a hug.
Okay.
To the biker in front of you. And he does that on the album and then it gets a big laugh, but if you haven't seen him live, you don't know
what
he's talking
about. That's not for anybody,
right? And somebody was like, well, you know, Steve Martin used to do that on his albums, is what somebody told me. And they're like, and he did it because he'd be like, oh, people want to know what is going on right there, so they'll come see me live. Yeah, I don't have that luxury.
Like, right.
I don't do like a whole lot of out-of-town shows, even though this month I've been out of town so much that I would just love a weekend at home now. But what are you going to do? Anyway, thank you for indulging in this album talk.
Of course. And one more time, March 3rd is the release date. That's a Tuesday. And the album is Bird Drugs.
Bird Drugs.
On Sure Thing Records.
And it should be on iTunes. And also, I'm sure my website will have a link to it, MacBlakeComedy.com.
Oh, we're gonna go lousy with promotion on this one.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. I'll be begging all my friends to promote it and whatnot. No, just promote it, not whatnot.
Promote it or whatever.
Man, there was, I just got back from a trip, like I just said, and there were so many dumb things that happened on the airplane that I wanted to talk about, but I don't remember any of them. I do remember that, like, I was on a Southwest flight recently, and those when's the last time you flew Southwest?
Last summer.
Those people need to kind of pump the brakes a little sometimes.
On which part?
Being
jokey-jokey?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Although this dude did make me laugh, which I hate. I feel like he beat me.
Was it a sincere laugh or was it like a buddy? You don't even know.
No, it was a sincere laugh because he was talking about the safety manual. And he was like, open up your safety manual. And of course, the speed at which he's delivering these jokes is let you know that he's said the same thing like a million times.
Right.
Which is not a criticism, just, you know, description. He's like, yeah, there's a safety manual. It details a lot of landing scenarios. None of them are good.
That's pretty good.
I appreciated that.
Yeah.
But then he also, he made us like, he really wanted us to applaud this one military guy.
Uh-huh.
Like to the point where he's like, everyone stay seated. Military guy, you can leave. And then like he just walked, he exited the plane first while we all had to remain seated.
Oh boy.
So we could applaud him, which is, you know, it's fine, whatever.
Did you?
Yeah, I may have. I don't want to discuss what I did. I may have given a sarcastic applause. I don't know.
Right?
I mean, I gave him a couple. I probably gave him a couple claps.
Sure, sure.
Why
yeah.
not? I want the guy to live and stuff.
Of course,
yeah,
of course.
Thanks, buddy. He didn't get in the military to waste dudes, probably. He got in for the right reasons, right?
But hey, he's also on the same plane you are.
Yeah,
he made it.
What the fuck, man? But also, he was like, hey, guys, I'm going to do people a favor right now. Is there someone next to you with headphones in? They don't want to talk to you. And I was like, you, sir, are an angel. Because a later flight, there was this lady. And I could tell right away, I was like, Bob, this lady's a talker. I'm going to nip this thing in the bud. And she was like, at one point, she like taps me on the arm, but it was kind of a hard tap. And so I take off my headphones and I look at her and I go, what? And she goes, oh, she just got served a drink. Dr. Pepper, in case anyone's keeping score.
Sure. And you get like, that kind of money now.
Yeah. She's like, you can pull out your tray and you can, you, there's a tray here in the armrest so you don't have to like juggle your drink. And I was like, thanks. I was like, juggle my, I'm like holding a glass.
Uh-huh.
What else was I doing with these hands?
At the same time, though, because I had something like this happen recently where it's that kind of stuff that like, look, in the grand scheme of things, she means well. Yeah. She's not bothering you. It's just a moment that you don't really need. I was relaying that, something that happened to me, to somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And man, you would have thought I had stolen their car. They just looked at me like, why wouldn't you be friendlier about that? It's like, I don't know. Just I'm sorry. I don't like it because it was a coworker, like a coworker.
And they were, they were, they, what did the coworker expect you to be like, oh, hello, or something like that?
Just a little more engaging, not completely shut her down when she came over to make small talk. And the fact that I didn't engage her was apparently a criminal offense.
Man, that person is that person who was criticizing you? Are they one of those people though?
No, no, they're not.
I had this guy, I was like walking into the airplane and this younger guy and an older guy. And what's weird is the younger guy was like the needy super talker.
Uh-huh.
And the plane hadn't even, I haven't even gotten the air yet, guys. And he already was like, so where are you from? And the guy was like, Little Rock. And then the younger guy goes, well, I don't know where that is. And he goes, it's in Arkansas. And he goes, okay. How do you not know where Little Rock is?
And also, if you don't know where Little Rock is, you're blown through your first hour of material.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Tell me about Little Rock. I don't know. He could talk about that.
That's why next time you go on a flight, make up lies. It's the greatest gift you can give anybody.
I was sitting there in the... Oh, my recent flying adventure, I had three different delays. So okay. What should have taken 6 hours took 12.
Oh, shit.
And so... Or maybe longer. I don't know. But at one point, I was sitting down, and this guy... There were so many seats available, and he sat down right next to me. Oh, I remember what I was going to tell you. Okay. And this guy, and I was like already like, is this guy going to talk to me? I really don't want to talk to anyone right now. I just don't want to like pretend to have to be friendly. Mm. And I figured out if he said something to me, I was going to just get up and walk away. But then it almost was like, ooh, say something to me. That sounds fun. Well, I was in the Dallas airport, not Dallas Love, but DFW.
All right.
And they have an outbound plane there. And I was like, man, I'm going to give myself a cookus. Give myself a little cookie. And I went to wait for the plane, and then they're like, oh, guess what, guys? The plane is, we're taking it out of service again. This is the third time this happened today.
Shit.
Something like that. And like, so we'll probably leave in another 40 minutes. It's like, well, fuck it, man. Cookie number two, here we come. And I walk over, and I ordered one cookie. The guy working behind the counter looked me up and down and then gave me two cookies.
Hey.
Still got it. Still got it. Yep.
Proud of you.
Thanks, man. Turn on that cookie guy.
Get some of that old bowel pain.
Yeah.
Three cookies. Jeez.
Pretty much. Well, David Hotta, let's close this mail bag up.
Let's
mail
do
bag?
It.
What?
Well, I mean, I'm we're males.
Sack of mails.
That's right.
How do you want to leave the? Well, let's do some bullshit business here.
Yeah. Okay. We're on Facebook /Mascot Wedding. We're on Twitter @Mascot Wedding. You got any? You're MacBlake.com for all your dates.
MacBlakeComedy.com.
MacBlakeComedy.
I think MacBlake is like a holding thing. Yeah, I got a show every Tuesday night here in Austin called All's Well with Mac and Joe. And there's a new show first Thursday of the month at Cold Tone Theater called Waterbed. Which is like a more like a sketch and character show. But yeah, David's right, MacBlakeComedy.com. And the Hustle Show, of course, the second Thursday of every month, 10 p.m., right?
That's right, yes.
At Cold Town Theater as well. If you like the show, please leave a review on iTunes or post it or tell your friend. If you leave a review on iTunes, we'll thank you on air. If you tweet about it, we'll definitely retweet it. Yeah. We're just trying to get the word out on this thing. So anything you could do with help, and we'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
Mr. David Hodd, how should we leave the show today?
How about we get booed off the stage?
Okay. Say, David.
Yes.
How are things down at the Capitol building?
Boy, you don't even want to know. It's a capital offense.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad.
Guys, listen.
Please.
We have 2.5 hours of material to go.
Did you throw a baby at me?
That was a chair with a baby in it.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's a gun.
Oh, it's revving his car, too.
Oh, my God. Oh, the car's coming towards us.
It's Mad Max Fury Road.
The Tasty Podcast Network at tastypodcast.com.